Summit Serves is a production of Summit Media Omaha, connecting you to the community. This is Summit Serves.
Hi, this is Terry from the Star Morning Show, and I'm very excited to have with me this morning from Children's Hospital and Medical Center, Dr. Chris Maloney. He is the Executive Vice President, Chief Clinical Officer, and Physician-in-Chief at Children's Hospital and Medical Center. Good morning, Doctor. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Good morning, Terry, and thank you for having me on.
So, Dr. Maloney, let's start by talking about the steps Children's is taking to prepare our community for this COVID-19 coronavirus.
As I've been talking to people, the ideal is to prevent, and prevention is all around vaccinations. We don't have a vaccination for this virus. The next would be, if you get it, can we treat it? Can we treat it with an antiviral? And we do not have a known antiviral for this specific virus. We're doing some testing with some other drugs that are what we call off-label. And so then the best way to make sure we don't get it is to stay away from people that have it. And if you do have it, stay away from people that don't have it. And that's what we're encouraging across our organization as well as across our community.
And it seems like our community is doing really well. I even heard in the president's speech yesterday, he was commending Governor Ricketts and this community for kind of doing what we're supposed to do.
We are. And the biggest challenge is this is a marathon and not a sprint. And so how are we going to work with our children at home to continue to have education, continue to have engagement, to continue to do things outdoors? We're going to have to be very creative in these times. And it is challenging because many of our families, both parents, work outside of the home. And so those are many of the challenges that we're going to be faced in the days to come.
All right, Doctor, as this disease continues to evolve, like you said, it's more of a marathon. What changes have you put into place at Children's?
Well, we've done a lot of things at Children's. First, we've changed our visitor policy and limited it to 2 people that can visit a patient that's hospitalized. We've also reduced our OR cases, our operating room cases, to those that are urgent and emergent. And that's based upon a discussion between families and their doctor. We're not mandating of what is urgent. That's really that discussion because they have the relationship. We're doing the same things in our specialty clinics, reducing to those visits that are urgent. And then in our primary care clinics, in addition to that reduction, we've also changed how we're seeing patients. So in the morning, we're seeing children that are in for well child visits because they need to have their vaccinations. Those are urgent. We can't delay those for a period of time because then we'll start seeing children get infected with vaccine preventable illnesses. So it's really important to continue on that vaccine schedule. In addition, then, in the afternoon is for the sick visits that people would normally have. And we've implemented that yesterday, and we're following and seeing how that's going to work.
Now, what can I myself do to protect myself and my child to avoid getting COVID-19?
Well, the key thing is to stay away from people, to make sure that you're washing your hands with soap at least for 20 seconds. Make sure that you're getting into the cracks of your fingers, or use a sanitizer that has over 60% alcohol. And also with the children, make sure that they keep their hands clean. This is a really good time to teach some fun games about how do you keep your hands clean and carry some sanitizer. I know some of those are challenging to find sanitizer, but this is the time to make some fun out of it.
It's true, and we have time with our kids now. I know I've seen a lot of videos online that are really cute with kids washing their hands and different songs to sing. So it's really good to incorporate those things.
It is. And let me just take a little bit of a tangent here. Because we're home with family and we're distancing our children from maybe even their grandparents, let's use our social media. Let's use our FaceTime, other ways to connect with faces with our family that spread. They're lonely too. And so let's make sure that the grandchildren get to see the grandparents. That's going to be really important.
Yes, there's so many ways to do that now. And Doctor, I want to ask you, I'd seen a video not too long ago about the number of times a child touches their face, over 100 times a day. What are some good ways to help keep our children from touching their face? Because I know that's something they shouldn't be doing right now.
Again, the children, they love to play games. And so it's all about games. And you can also make it about you. So, hey, Johnny, what I want you to do is anytime it looks like I'm moving my hand up to touch my face, you got to remind me not to do that. And I'm going to do the same thing to you. How many times can we remind each other during the day to not touch our faces?
Yeah, make it a game. And I think with so much fear out there, don't you agree? It is a serious thing, and children should know that, but we still have to make light. They are children after all, and they want to have fun.
They do. They want to play. They want to run around, and we need to let them do that. And we can still do that and stay safe distances away.
And then the flattening of the curve. Now, we're in week one of this social distancing. Obviously, they want us to do it for 2 weeks, but I'm thinking it's probably going to be a whole lot longer, don't you?
If it's effective, it's going to be a lot longer.
Right now we're looking at, I think schools are out to the end of April.
And by the end of April, we will know a lot more of how flat has it been? Or have we had a peak where 40% of our population has become infected? That's the number that's going around. Well, if 40% have been infected, that may be it. It may be over.
Doctor, could you speak to us about testing here in Omaha? I know that tests are important not only to find out who has this virus, but to tell us about the virus.
The value of testing is more epidemiological, meaning that later on we'll be able to look back and understand who was getting it and who wasn't. However, it doesn't change anything that we're supposed to do. We still need to isolate ourselves if we have symptoms from other people. And even in the hospital, it doesn't necessarily change anything because we don't have a treatment. All the therapies that we have are supportive. We're testing the ones that are hospitalized and some that are not hospitalized because we want to understand how widespread the illness is in our community.
Okay, so you're saying then if somebody wants to get a test, they should probably call their physician first with their symptoms, correct?
Yes, and find out if they meet the criteria, because most people that are fine at home would not meet the criteria for testing right now because those are in short supply. The criteria right now are if you're going to be hospitalized for this illness. We're being very strict on our testing at Children's because we have a limited amount of tests and testing supplies. That's where we've drawn the line because then we need to know how much personal protective equipment we have to wear if you're positive versus negative because we have a lot of other respiratory viruses that are circulating this time of year and we would use different kind of personal protective equipment.
How are you on your personal protective equipment?
We have been rationing.
Okay.
We've been trying to get additional supplies in, having a little bit of luck, but not a lot.
Okay, and we're hoping that changes for you too in the very near future. It seems like everybody's trying to help right now, which is wonderful. Well, Doctor, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I really want to thank everybody for their support. We have an overwhelming support from our community to want to help. And the other thing is, as we've been ratcheting down the services, everybody has been so understanding of the need to do that. So I really appreciate that from our community.
Dr. Chris Maloney, I want to thank you and all of the doctors at Children's. You're on the front line of all of this. You're our hero. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Be safe.
Thank you again to Dr. Chris Maloney. He is the Executive Vice President, Chief Clinical Officer, and Physician-in-Chief at Children's Hospital and Medical Center. If you'd like more information, Children's has a helpline you can call at 402-955-3200, or you can go to their COVID-19 webpage at childrensomaha.org/COVID. With the COVID-19 pandemic that has hit our healthcare system, our doctors are in need of so many supplies. And if you would like to help, there's many ways to do that, including an event that is coming up early next week. It is the Creighton Cares Medical Drive. And the co-founder is with me this morning, Grace Pratt. Good morning, Grace.
Hi, good morning.
What you're doing is so great. First of all, tell everybody, because we hear this term often, when doctors speak about PPE, what is that and why do the doctors need it so badly?
So PPE stands for personal protective equipment. And this is something that we use in our hospitals and clinics every day. It kind of has a wide range of things that it covers from gloves to surgical masks, N95 masks, gowns, disinfecting wipes, all of that really kind of comes under PPE. And it's something, like I said, that we've been using all the time in our hospitals and clinics, but now with this just unprecedented number of new patients, we just don't have enough to really kind of fulfill the needs that we have.
Okay, so you have your Creighton Cares Medical Drive coming up. What are the dates for the event?
So our dates are Monday and Tuesday, March 30th and 31st. Each of those days we're going to be open from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay, and where exactly are you going to be?
We will be at First Covenant Church, which is located at 201 North 90th Street here in Omaha.
And what items, Grace, are you specifically looking for? Because I know they have to be specific items that the doctors need. So tell us what we need to bring.
Absolutely. So we're looking for any unopened and unused items, including surgical masks, N95 masks, gloves, gowns, and then disinfecting and bleach wipes.
And those have been in short supply, so I know that we as people need them as well, but doctors more than ever to keep these germs away.
Actually, at the moment, the CDC is not even recommending that the public needs N95 masks. So if you have any, that would be super awesome to bring them in. And surgical masks at this time are really only being recommended for people who are sick. So if you're a healthy person right now and you have any of those supplies, if you are able to donate, we would really appreciate it.
That's true, because I know some doctors have told me that with the flu and that, they can use a different mask. But because we don't know enough about COVID-19, they really need those N95 masks. They're so important.
Yeah, they have a higher rating, so they're able to protect our doctors even better. So they're super important as we're learning more and more about this new virus.
So how is this organized? So do people drive up and drop off? And, you know, in this time of social distancing, we want to be extra safe. So how should they proceed when they make their donations at the event?
Yeah, absolutely. We are trying our very best to keep this event as social distanced as possible. So there are kind of going to be two options. We'll have a bin where people can drive up and drop off items in the bin, and then volunteers will come out and collect from that. Or if you'd like, you can just drive up and roll down your window, and one of our volunteers can come up to your vehicle and get your supplies. And all of our vehicles are being pre-screened to make sure they have not had any exposure or any symptoms.
Our doctors need it more than ever. Of all those items you mentioned, is there one specific one that they really need the most?
You know, they're all super important at this point in time. I would say the N95 masks are really crucial just because, like you said, we're not entirely sure about this virus yet. So that would be a huge help. But we also really need all the rest of those things right now.
So how did you come up with this idea, Grace? I'm really curious.
As medical students, we have really been kind of able to see exactly what the demands are that have been put on the healthcare system. And we've been in the hospitals and clinics and seen just these huge shortages firsthand. In addition, we've kind of seen drives similar to this going on in other areas of the country. And that's kind of what really inspired us to get this going.
So yeah. Something like this is also has to be very interesting for you. You're learning a lot through this.
Oh, for sure. This is great learning experience for students. I mean, we're learning exactly how the disease spreads and what we can do to get ahead of it. And we're learning exactly what stresses look like when they're put on our healthcare system.
And that's something I don't think any of us have really thought about because, you know, doctors are treating other things now, too. It's still flu season. In fact, it's been a bad flu season. So they're still treating that and any other illnesses on top of all of this.
Yeah, this is something that we couldn't really see coming or anything like that. And so there was no way for us to really be prepared. As you said, it's still flu season. So our doctors are overwhelmed not only with this COVID-19 virus, but with all the other just seasonal type of things that we normally deal with.
Well, you are taking a great step, Grace, towards helping our doctors here with their Creighton Cares Medical Drive. And could you give the time and dates of the event again and where they can reach you for more information?
Absolutely. Monday and Tuesday, March 30th and 31st from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. at First Covenant Church. Otherwise, if you are unable to make the event or if you have more questions, you can email us at creightoncares2020@gmail.com.
All right, Grace. Well, thanks for all you do and good luck with everything.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a great day.
And I'm happy to have back with me Brian Varks. He is the president and CEO of the Food Bank for the Heartland. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Terry. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. We just spoke a few weeks ago and the whole world has changed. And I know that things have changed for the Food Bank. So how are things going right now?
our resources, quite honestly, are being stretched and being challenged. We are doing the best we can to help meet the growing need that we are finding, not just here in the Omaha metropolitan area, but also in the rural communities that we serve in Nebraska and Western Iowa. The big challenge that has come about is that when you look at the food that we traditionally distribute on, you know, a normal operating day, about 70% of the food that we distribute, or 75%, will be donated sources such as retail grocery stores, manufacturers, wholesalers, you know, places like Tyson and ConAgra, Walmart, Target, Baker's, those kind of places, also USDA. But as far as what we've seen over the last month is that the amount of donated products, specifically from the retail, wholesale, and manufacturer side of the food industry, that has dropped 68% from where it was a year ago. As you've seen the pictures on TV, is that store grocery shelves are getting bare. They don't have the extra that typically comes to the food bank, and that is very, very challenging to us. And so what we need to do to fill that void is purchase food. And we are purchasing food at a clip of hundreds of thousands of dollars to bring into our facility in order to serve our pantry partners along with our mobile pantry program. Typically, again, we'll do about 75% donated and 25% purchase food that we distribute. That is now completely flipped, where 75% of the food is now what we buy and 25% is donated. And so that has made it very challenging for us financially as far as sustainability is concerned, and also trying to get more product to meet the growing demand that we see in our communities.
Yes. Now, I know with children being out of school, that is another thing that's probably changed a bit for you, because we've talked about how children's one good meal could be that school meal. And now you've got your mobile pantry program and your mobile backpack program. Are you still continuing to do those?
Yes, we are. As far as the mobile backpack program is concerned, we are partnering with the Salvation Army and Saving Grace in the program where we identified 13 sites across the metropolitan area where we are distributing bags of food that have 5 breakfast meals, 5 lunch meals, and also some fresh produce. We take 200 bags of food that have those meals in them, 200 to each one of those 13 sites on a weekly basis. And those bags are all spoken for. They're all distributed in less than a half hour. And we are running into the problem of having less food than what the need is. Again, we're doing the very best that we can with the resources that we have, but we just aren't able to get food in the hands of everybody who wants it.
So how can we help?
Terry, the biggest thing that we can do is the financial contributions. As I mentioned, we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on food to bring into our building in order to get it out into the hands of people who need it. We anticipate that the amount of donated food that we receive will continue to drop over the next several months at least. And so, again, the only way that we are able to get food to people who need it is to buy it. We truly do appreciate the people who are, you know, collecting canned goods and bringing it by. We need food coming in by the semi-load. And so that's the big challenge that we face. The other challenge that we're facing when we do buy the food and get it in is that the supply chain is being stopped. It's grinding. Typically, food will come to us when we make a buy. It'll come anywhere from 5 to 10 business days. Right now, we're looking at 3 to 5 weeks before an order is made by the time food gets into our facility. And so we're trying to do the best we can to make those purchases so that we do have food continually coming into our building. But if we don't have the resources to buy it, that's a challenge. It just simply is a challenge.
So since time is of the essence with this, how can someone listening now do that for you?
I would urge people to go onto our website at foodbankheartland.org. There's a donate button right there that you can make a financial contribution on our website. Easiest, quickest, fastest way. That's the greatest way to make an impact into what we are trying to address right now. So we would be grateful for people who do that, and you will be making a huge difference, not just our organization, but the organizations that we serve and the people that we serve. You know, once the virus passes, so to speak, the economic fallout that we're going to be feeling from this is going to linger. For how long, we don't know, but we do know it's going to linger. We have a large number of people who have been thrust into the situation of seeking food assistance for the very first time, and it's hard. It is a really hard thing to navigate. So continued support would be welcomed and is greatly needed.
And so once again, where can our listeners donate to you?
Foodbankheartland.org. PPE.org.
Okay, Brian, thank you so much for taking the time. I know how busy you are, and good luck with everything.
Thanks, Terry. I appreciate the time.
Busy week as it has been for the Douglas County Health Department, as we've seen since the coronavirus pandemic was officially announced, and we continue to see the impact of it. But very happy to be joined on the phone with Phil Rooney of the Douglas County Health Department, and just for having some time to share everything with us right now. And Phil, I know we just received information about an hour ago that the state and Douglas County did see its first death related to the coronavirus. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, the medical confidentiality laws do require us to maintain a lot of, you know, we cannot release as much as we'd like to, but it was a man in his 50s who had traveled, was potentially exposed during traveling, came back and was notified of potential exposure, self-isolated, and passed away. He did have some underlying health conditions. It's certainly not a very cheerful day around here, though. You know, it's the type of thing that you feared could be coming. It was all likelihood. It's something that's going to happen, but it doesn't, you know, it's not good to hear when it happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And our thoughts and prayers are with the family. You know, when you think of a lot of the different numbers that are coming out throughout the country, too, Nebraska has been talked about as one that has, you know, been more of a steady rise as opposed to some of the more, you know, states that have seen a rapid increase. You know, when people are trying to make sense of the data that we continue to sort of be drawn to right now, what do you kind of take away from the numbers, you know, from Douglas County and the state compared to what we're seeing throughout the country?
Well, although I'm part of the effort, I do think we can seriously tell you that we're doing a lot of things right. I think everyone from the health department, the mayor, the state, folks down there, the governor and his staff, I think we're doing all the right things. We are getting, you know, 2 to 4 cases a day here in Douglas County, the most populous section of the state of Nebraska. And I think we're doing a good job. We don't see the need at this point for any further measures than we're taking. We do want people to continue their, you know, social distancing so that they minimize the possibilities for exposure. The business communities have been remarkably cooperative in what they've done. They've provided great support. And I certainly encourage people to, as you have a takeout promotion, I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm planning some takeout from a couple of my favorite establishments this weekend. So I think that's good. I think the community has really responded in a remarkable fashion, which really isn't surprising, but it's still great to see.
As far as businesses taking the steps that they did and some of them deciding to just close down, a lot of this was not necessarily on the recommendation of the mayor or the governor, too. They were just kind of being proactive with that. And, you know, in the long run, in the discussions that you guys continue to have about this as you learn more information, how effective do you think that will be in the long run just to try to contain this as much as we can?
Well, those are the proven methods over time. We've seen that when you close down opportunities for people to mingle and spread the disease, that's how you get the disease stopped. And I do think it is remarkable. A lot of them, I think, looked at the situation and thought, we can't maintain social distancing. We just got to get behind the effort and close. And I have to commend them. They've been remarkable corporate citizens.
We're talking to Phil Rooney of Douglas County Health Department here on AM 590 ESPN Omaha. I want to ask you about also the biggest differences that you're kind of seeing from, you know, week one into this to where we are as you guys continue to get more information, any kind of trends or anything that is being discussed right now amongst the department as far as, you know, being able to get the favorable results. And I know we always go back to this, Phil, but any kind of timelines that are being discussed as far as when things can, you know, restrictions could potentially be lifted down the road.
Well, the timeline that we're looking at right now, of course, is the restrictions are in place through April 30th. That can be changed one way or the other. I don't want to be overly optimistic on it, but nor overly pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem to seem that we are seeing more cases that are, as we're doing more testing, we are seeing more cases, and they continue to be primarily from known contacts or from travel. There is some community spread. I'm not going to say there isn't that. And So it hasn't really accelerated at as fast a level as we thought, but there's still going to be, you know, more testing, and we we still don't have the complete picture, but I think we're continually seeing that we are doing the right things, following proven practices, and a great deal of effort. And it, you know, involves the police department and the fire department, or transporting patients who might be sick. And it's got the health care providers in the community who are providing services and doing as much testing as they possibly can, people in the labs working overtime, all the way down to Department of Health and Human Services in Lincoln, the governor's team. So it is a very large effort, and we continue to work. Some people, you know, some of the organizations are working around the clock in one way or another. We have our information line. It'll be open 7 days a week, 8:30 to 4. That is runs until, 8:30 to 4 at 402-444-3400. State DHHS has an 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily information line at 402-552-6645. And outside those hours, the highways 211. So you've got the nonprofits, the government, and the businesses providing tremendous cooperation and services. It's really Nebraska strong, as we talked about last year during the flooding. We're seeing it again. And we're also seeing a lot of Nebraska nice, I got to say, too, which is really great.
Yeah, absolutely. And Phil, you know, the other thing I'm sure you guys continue to get asked about is the testing availability. Has that changed much from, you know, this time last week to where we are now?
It's increased, not as much as anybody would like to see, but we've seen some private providers on coming on board and being able to do that. Some of them are screening. So if anybody is going to one of the pop-up locations or whatever, make sure that they're going to do testing, not just screening. So it's, you know, there are always, you know, it's there's a proper procedures that have to be followed and all this. So it's be buyer be aware, but we do see some good reputable people coming online and helping out. And there are more tests going through the lab. It does take 6-7 hours just to run a test now at the public health lab. So that's something, you know, that was maybe different than what we heard in the beginning. And they try and run them in batches so that we get a whole lot of them back at one time. And it's not a very large percentage. You know, we're still seeing relatively small numbers of people who are sick. And I would like to remind people, Nick, as I probably did last week, that there is still a lot of flu in the community. We added 70-some flu cases last week, and we're over 6,900 for the year. And that's just the people that showed up and got tested, not all the people that stayed home and took care of themselves there. So the flu is certainly still very prevalent in the community.
Phil, I ask you this every week, and I appreciate you also refreshing us on that, too. I think that's a very important thing to know. As the symptoms we knew of kind of when this thing first started in our country, have you learned of any other symptoms people should be aware of just to either monitor, self-isolate, self-quarantine, anything other than the dry cough, the fever, and the headache?
And I'm glad you pointed out dry cough, because it is a dry cough. It's that makes it distinct from some other things you might see. There have been reports that some people, we've had a bit of it, lose their sense of taste and smell. Now, that may also go with your breathing difficulties, so that, you know, that's kind of one to consider. And then there is starting to see a recurrence of people who have lower gastrointestinal problems. So it's not universal. Those are some of the symptoms we're seeing as we, you know, go forward with this. Do want to remind people this was, you know, identified basically New Year's Eve. So we've been dealing with this disease, this worldwide pandemic, for about half the time we've been into the current flu season. So there's still a lot to learn, and we are learning a lot pretty quickly. But hopefully we'll get a lot more knowledge fast and get this thing under control. And we'll be on the case for a while, I think. But yeah. I think we're seeing real good results here in Nebraska. We're doing a lot of good things.
Phil, always appreciate you joining us. Please try to get some rest anytime you can. And I can't thank you enough for being with us and always sharing us with us the very latest.
Glad to do it, Nick. I'll be happy to do it again next week. Wishing we wouldn't have anything to talk about, but I think we probably still will at that point.
I'm sure we will. Phil, appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
You too, man.
That is Phil Rooney with the Douglas County Health Department. Always very good information there. And I feel like the little things that we are doing right now and taking it serious, I think people will be surprised how that will give us the best result we possibly can in this right now. So as inconvenient as it might be, just continue to you know, take in all the information you can from people like Phil Rooney and everybody in our medical community as well that are giving you this advice. They're doing it because they know it is necessary, not because they're trying to interrupt your day or your social interactions at all. But always appreciate that. Always good information, too. They're on social media. You also heard the phone number for any information, 402-444-3400 for all of the very latest information.